Almost did the reverse Lima and said good morning, but it's good evening, right? Some of you asked me if I was here last year. I said, no, I wasn't. I missed last year, so I'm excited and thankful to be here. It's hard to believe it's been a year since I had an eye surgery, so that was kind of chaotic and scary at the same time. So actually two of them. And within 20 days. So it was a little bit, it was a tough time, but that's okay. So like Marshall said, we're in Deuteronomy 6, if you want to turn there. So Deuteronomy 6. And I guess I, in one sense, of being this first message, I'm kind of like the herald here, right? You know, I'm like, I don't have a super loud booming voice, though. So you just have to bear with me. But that's Jason. but anyway, so Deuteronomy 6:4 is actually assigned the topic of Hear, O Israel. And kind of like when that was first given to me, I was like, that could be a massive topic. And I could go a variety of ways with that. But I was like, man, I don't know. Hopefully I can do it justice. But it's a massive topic, and I do appreciate the assignment. So before we do that, let's go into a word of prayer. Lord God in heaven, we are blessed and extremely thankful to be here, particularly just to be able to be in good health, to be in good spirits, to be able to have a country that we live in with the semblance of some freedoms yet. Just again, appreciative and thankful for the folks that have put this, have organized this, just from the food to the venue to the place where we're at, and just to be able to organize this and be able to put this on is a really tremendous thing. It's a real benefit to the men in these bodies in Ohio, particularly. And we just pray that you'll be with us this evening. Just pray that you'll be with the speakers. Pray that our words will be clear and that it'll be in accordance to your will. Lord, we just pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. So like I said, when I first got the assignment, my mind was thinking about different things and Hear, O Israel, you know, really listening and really concentrating, really thinking about the things we're hearing. And the one idiom came to my mind, which many of you are probably familiar with, but the idiom goes, there's none so deaf as those who will not hear. So you're probably like, some people probably even think that's a scripture. It's actually not. It's the idiom actually is ascribed to a theologian from the mid-16th century named Matthew Henry, which you're probably familiar with some of his commentaries that he's put out. But it was something that he penned, and really the meaning of the idiom describes the fact that a person is willfully refusing to listen. And so I wanted to go through the fact tonight, or at least initially to start out with, that mankind has a hearing problem. Philosophically, at its root, there's the ideology that's put out there from a humanistic perspective is that exasperates those problems. And, you know, in Matthew Henry's idiom, you know, even though it's a couple hundred years old, it correctly observes the plight of mankind. And, you know, I think the other thing I was thinking about when I was putting this together is, recent events over the past few weeks are very illustrative of the fact that mankind has a hearing problem. And whether mankind wants to stuff his ears with cotton, talk over another person so that they might not be able to hear an opposing view, or worse yet, they kill the person, as many of you have witnessed with Charlie Kirk. You know, I don't know what was going through Tyler Robinson's mind, I don't know exactly, but I know that the sum of what was being said, or what's the process in his mind that was, the thought process was, he was to shut up Charlie Kirk, because he had been spreading too much hate. Now Tyler Robinson perceived, but obviously it was an opposing view from Tyler's perspective. And the other thing to think about is, what would he do if he's worried about Charlie Kirk? what would he do with the Son of Man? Because obviously, some perspectives that he pronounced would be considered hate speech. You know, things like, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. So there's verses, there's statements that he made, I'm sure, as the result, obviously, is the same. That we got to shut him up because we no longer want to listen to this opposing view. So, and I really also wanted to bring up and touch on this because I really appreciated Mr. Wilson. You know, he always has his little write-ups in his bulletin backs, and then he has a segment in the email that he puts out. I really appreciated his reference to an article that he in that write-up from thehill.com. And I actually didn't scan through the article. I want to go back and look at the article a little bit closer. But, you know, Jay kind of gave the synopsis in the article about that, you know, we are losing the basis of our civil discourse. So there's a real problem, you know, it's, again, a listening problem. And so to not be able to articulate or to discuss argumentation with opposing views is a real problem for a society. Because right now, and Jay brought it up in the article, but there's an attack on the person and the character issues and not necessarily discussing the arguments or the philosophical implications of those arguments. So that's actually where it needs to be put, not on the person or if this person's left or right or left wing or right wing or whatever his perspective or his background is. He's Hispanic or he's coming for whatever voter block that they want to put out there. Those are some real issues and they're actually cloud the real argumentation. And so I do appreciate the article. And again, I encourage you to go check it out. But again, we are losing the basis of our civil discourse on thehill.com. So, but it really does, the article is a representation of mankind's listening problem. And really, in a lot of ways, from youth up, there's the ideology is pushed on man from a humanistic perspective. And really, the idea being things that are said like, or promoted, listen to your heart. Or go with your gut. Or how about following the inner voice of your man, following your inner voice. So those are, from a youngster, those are things that are put, especially in public schools. It's the humanistic ideology. And so you can understand why there's a real habit of not being able to articulate or be able to discuss from an opposing perspective those and do it in a rational sense with peaceable. And it, again, man has a listening problem. And so the other thing that's really habitually picked up is there's an inability to really listen because of that ideology. There's an inability to listen to another person's perspective. And also there's an inability to listen to from the Lord God in heaven. And so I appreciate, as a kid, you know, you appreciated like wisdom, and again, earthly wisdom, but wisdom that you could gain from your grandparents or wisdom that you could gain from a mentor. Like you would soak that up and you should. Young people should soak that up to be able to pick up and be able to learn from somebody that has wisdom, as somebody has experience. And it can be really you're gleaning all that information for free. but really, listening, again, the problem, it's a concern. And because really the first step in faith is listen. So let's turn over to Romans real quick. A passage familiar to most. I don't have my phone. I usually have that, so you can give me the hook if I need to get off here, if I'm going over. Turn to Romans 10:16. It says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, Have they not all heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. And so really, you know, obviously the Apostle Paul here is referencing some things that Isaiah had written several hundred years before that. But in those statements, he says, who has believed our report? There's a message that is going forth. And it says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. There is absolutely no way I can develop a faith in the Lord God in heaven without hearing the message. I have to first begin. That's the first step, is to be able to hear the message, to be able to develop the picture in my mind. But before I can even act in obedience to the Lord. So that's the first step. And it says, but I say to you, have they not all heard? Yes, indeed. It says, they have all heard. Their sound has gone forth. Their words to the ends of the world. There's absolutely, without question, the message has been heard. And the world knows it. I mean, we got people from Africa and India here today. The world, it's gone forth to the whole world, without question. And it had went to the ends of the world in the first century as well. So without question. So, and again, and tribute to, as earlier brought out in that chapter, tribute to the those who preach the word, preach the gospel. So, all right, let's turn back now to Deuteronomy. And I actually want to, before we go into verse 4, which is my assigned, that verse 4a, I guess, would be mine, and Jason's 4b. But, so, in looking at that, I want to back up just a little bit before, just to read some context. So Deuteronomy 6, starting verse 1 there, he says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, for that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of our fathers, of your fathers, has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And so, why would I be motivated? Okay, so man's already got, we've already illustrated or observed, man's got a listening problem. But what would make man listen up? Because really he says, listen up. Is in my mind it says Israel hear, or hear, O Israel. In my mind I translate it to say, listen up, it's time to listen. It's attention, pay attention. And so what would motivate me to be willing to listen? Well, in the case of Israel of the Old Testament here, first it starts with you individually. Why would I want to listen up? Why would I want to hear, O Israel? Because he says that you may, he says in verse 3 there, it says, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you. First and foremost, I want to get myself right individually. Hear, O Israel, first and foremost, it needs to be well with me. And then the second thing that he gets into is, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of our fathers has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. So that they might multiply. The next step is going beyond you and to other people, that you may multiply. And he mentions there in verse 2, it says that you and your son and your grandson. It says a perpetual thing to beyond what we're doing here today. I mean, how many Montana men's camps have there been? I don't know. Has there been 40?
About 52.
52. Those things are laid down in motion, and they're perpetual, and they continue. That'd be awesome if this is in 52. This is going on in 52 years, right? That's what this is about. But it starts with us first hearing, getting ourselves right, and then multiplying that to others. It goes beyond us. So the next thing he talks about is that we might be able to go into a land to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. And obviously, what would motivate us is we all seek a heavenly land. A heavenly land. Just like Abraham, that's having that same faith. We seek a city above. We don't seek anything on this earth. Unfulfilled and empty is what this is. So we seek a heavenly land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And like I said, those are all types. You can see those types are laid down in the Old Testament here. And they've been carried through with the Word of God. And they've been really speaking to us, the church. Because don't we want to get it right? Multiply to others and advance His kingdom so that we might inherit a heavenly land. So, listen up. Is the message in the entire Bible. It is the basis of God's Word describing Himself and His Godhead to us. And I don't want to get too far in it. I was like, when I saw them, and I didn't realize that Jason had the second part of that, I was like, oh, that would be awesome. I don't know where, I'm sure Jason will, I'm just tiptoeing it, but it is pretty awesome to think about the piece that Jason's going to cover. But hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Everything about this is describing to us the entire Godhead. It is describing to us the God of heaven, His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Spirit who hovered over the surface of the waters at the beginning of creation. That is a pretty awesome thing to think about, that the Godhead is being displayed through His Word. So, all right. What does it mean to hear? So, you know, I got tasked with at Wasion to do a series on creation, and I kind of just finished wrapping that series up, and I actually wanted to go the last part of that series. I wanted to go through the sense gates of the human body, and you know, there's a variety of those. You know, the eyes and the ears, and I was actually, you know, the eyes. Obviously, I had already been well-versed on that because I got to learn a whole lot about retina and retinal detachments and how the retina works. So that was actually some review for me. But one of the sense gates that fascinated me the most, which I was astounded at the utter complexity of it, is the human ear. And I just say it's amazing and irreducibly complex, the human ear. Because consider... And this is I went over this, but in that series. But just consider the human ear and how it processes mechanical energy, sound waves, that are received by the outer receptacle of the ear, that are picked up, and they're intercepted and they're funneled through to your inner ear, which is, you know, the cochlea, which has those fluids in it. So those fluids then, because of the mechanical energy that's passed through the ear, then resonate and they vibrate hair-like structures within the inner ear, which then are transferred to your stimulate nerves, which are then transferred to your brain through electrical energy. So like, just think about that process right there, mechanical to hydrologic, or I should say hydrologic. Thinking of my work. Hydraulic energy to electrical stimulus that goes to the human brain so that the human brain takes it in and we get to hear. We get to hear. And all I could think of is that God has went to a lot of trouble so that we might be able to hear. And we know people that have had disabilities and have lost their sense of hearing, and you know, it's a major thing where some of the other sense gates have to pick up the slack. But it's an amazing thing, and it's amazing. It's, like I said, irreducibly complex. And in fact, He's not only given us one, but He's given us two, just like our eyes. He's given us two, a pair of them, and probably for good reason, because I always tell myself, you know, He's given us two ears and a mouth, and it signifies by what ratio we use them. And we'll get into that here in a minute with one of the verses. So in other words, we're listening twice as much as we should be speaking. So turn over to James, speaking of that. text there. So James chapter 1. So what does it mean to hear? That's the physical aspect of it. James chapter 1, I want to read 19 to 25. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So, you know, starting out 19, again, if you've memorized this, some of you probably have. This is a great, great book to memorize. But, you know, swift to hear. And I'm not actually sure what the NASB guy says, but swift to hear, quick to hear. Like, that's the first thing. You should be quick to hear. And like I said, probably just a good ratio is a bare minimum. You should probably be listening twice as much as you speak. Swift to hear. And he says, slow to speak. Slow to wrath. I don't think anybody's here ever experienced, you know, jumping to conclusions and wanting to go to wrath, right? That's never happened to anybody here before. I mean, you've not thought about and not listened clearly. But habit of listening and not jumping to conclusions. I remember when Amanda and I first got married, I had to work on that habit. And many of you probably can relate, because Amanda would be like, "You're not listening to me." And I'm like, okay, wait, I need to shut up and just hear what she's saying and process it. And don't speak until she's completed what she's trying to say. And then the second thing you had to learn is don't try to solve the problem, because that's not what she's looking for. But I just need to listen, because it's like I needed to learn that habit. And then likewise with kids, same thing. And I actually caught myself a couple days ago. I didn't let my daughter Renee, she was wanting to tell me something, and I said, the answer is no. And I was like, wait a second, I shouldn't do that. And I wish I was like, I needed to stop and hear what she had to say first before I, like, and she explained to me what she was trying to communicate. But I was too quick. I was like, hold on. With your kids, same thing. You got to listening to your kids. Be listening a whole lot more, because it's going to save you a whole lot of hassle later, because you're not going to overreact or give improper direction or not be able to diagnose the problem correctly. So, swift to hear, good practical advice here from James. But in this case here, in the context here, but what are we swift to hear about? And like, because really, you know, it's we're swift to hear, as he says in verse 21 there, it says, you got to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive the implanted word. To take in, to be able to swift to hear the word of God. And I already talked about it a minute ago, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want your faith to develop, you need to receive the implanted word. You need to hear the words of life implanted. And obviously that requires some memorization on our part, or some being able to be real familiar with this book, get real familiar with those words of life. So, and the second part of this is to hear, is to receive that implanted word. Second part of that is, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers. And it's not just hearing, it requires action. That's part of this hearing the word, taking in the implanted word, is it requires action. And I mean, it's pretty easy to listen. It's a whole lot harder doing. I think everybody here can relate to that. You're like, man, I'm fired up about that message. That being fired up about that is great, but the next part is to engage it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. It's the engagement and the taking on those habits. And I think all of us can relate. And, you know, it's like, so football season's upon us. We'll use a football analogy. But if the coach called the play and you didn't execute it, then he'd start to question, did the player actually hear the play? And did he hear what he's supposed to do on that play? Because it's critical that all 11 guys do their assignment. And if they don't hear the play right, you see it in the NFL. The guy runs the wrong route and there's an interception because the quarterback thought he was going to be there and he ran the wrong route. He didn't execute it properly. So it requires the hearing it and the executing part are together. And that's part of we heard it comes to mind. But anyways, so then the next thing he talks about is but be doers of the word, hear, not hearers only. Because he likens it to something. What does he liken it to? Is it's like a man who hears but does not act on what someone has told. It's like a man who's observed himself in the mirror and has forgotten what he looks like. And actually, I know the Book of James is family camp in Montana, but I believe Matt Hartford or somebody, I think he had this section, or he brought it up. At least I remember his statement from the messages. But, you know, Matt brought it up, you know, I don't know who he used, like Tom Cruise. I could look like Tom Cruise here in my mind. You know, I could look at myself in the mirror and walk away, and I look like Tom Cruise, don't I? I have a hairline like his. Yeah. But you forget what kind of man you. It's like that's not who I am. And so, what the word is establishing is who we are, and if we're not taking in that information, we're gonna let the world tell us who we are. We need to let him define who we are. And there's an entrapment there or self-delusion that can occur. And that's why God's word keeps us focused on what our identity is. And that identity is the new creation. And really, so what's the result of him who looks looks into the perfect law of liberty? That's the other thing that's really awesome about this perfect law of liberty. There's a law here, but it's perfect. It's complete. It's the one that can transform this one. It's not a liberty. It's not a law of oppression, but a law that results in liberty, being free from something. I mean, we all know, and we can see, you know, whatever vices are, you know, somebody will say, he's an all right guy, but man, he's got a lot of vices that prevent him from being effective or efficient or whatever it is. There's a lot of vices. What is that? It's a lot of habits, that's not free. It's a vice, like it's trapped him. So we use that expression because but this perfect law of liberty, it can liberate us. And that's an exciting thing to think about. And the second part of that is that whatever he does, he's blessed. It says this one will be blessed in what he does. To be blessed by God and to know that he's with us. That is a very encouraging. This is the result of the man who hears and does the will of God. So, encouraging. Again, what does it mean to hear? So, let's turn to Matthew 21. This is another parable that kind of describes, I think, what's it mean to hear. And kind of relates to the James passage. Matthew 21. And it's the parable of the two sons. How am I time? Good? Okay. Verse 28 there, it says, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he didn't go. Or he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. And Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterwards relent and believe him." So, great parable here of this situation of the father. He's got two sons, and he says to the two sons, one has the first, the father gives the command to the sons, "Go and work in my vineyard today." And the reaction of the first son is, "I will not go." And I appreciate this parable because there's sometimes when I read this parable, I think of, don't always be too quick to judge if somebody turns you away the first time. Because that message might penetrate them and it might take a minute. You just got to be patient for that seed to take root. And so he says, "I will not," and he turns away. But afterwards he regrets it and he goes and does it. He repents. He reconsiders that and he acts on, "Hey, I gotta pull my load here. I gotta do what the father, I wanna do what dad says. I got a command." And not, and the second son, which is the other side of that, is like, there's a lot of times there's people that give you a, "Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, no problem. I got that. I got you covered." And they let you down because they don't act on that information. That is the one that burns you the most. And I know in work sometimes I'm like, "Man, I got to make sure, if I put my word down, I'm going to get something done. I better follow through with it." Again, good name, is to be valued, but I made a commitment to that person to deliver. Now, sometimes it's a little tricky because it's like time constraints or whatever, but if I put my word out there, then I better follow through with it. And so this second son here, he gives the pass and he gives the lip service is what he does, and he doesn't act on what the father has asked him to do. So then Jesus likens his tax collectors and harlots. The people that you think didn't hear the message that have baggage, they're hearing the message because they repented. They were acting on what John was saying. They believed John's message, John the Immerser. So they acted on it. So for us, as the church, we're moved past that dispensation. But for us, do we want to have the appearance of the new creation? Or do we want to be the new creation? Is that our identity? We are not going to get there unless we act on what we've heard and put this identity in place in our person. So, which leads me to my next segment here. Hearing requires intentionality. So turn back to Deuteronomy. We aren't done there yet. 6:3. He says, in verse 3 there, he says, "Therefore, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel." And he says, "Be careful to observe it." Be careful to observe it. There's intentionality. When we're careful in doing something, I think we've used this a lot. This has been used a lot, illustrations. If I ask one of the kids to move one of the chairs, they probably won't be very intentional. They'll just grab it and whip it around and probably bang into stuff and knock cups over and do a bunch of stuff. But if I'm being intentional and be careful, I'm going to pick that chair up and I'm going to place it in the right location. I'm not going to knock over coffee and pop and water and whatever else. Although I still might do that. But I'm going to be careful. There's going to be an intentionality because I'm observing the situation. I'm observing. And so he says, "Hear, O Israel, be careful to it. Hear, O Israel, be careful and observe it." It's going to require intentionality to hear what the message is. So, and let's turn over to Matthew 7. I want to look at verse 24 to 27. Verse 24 there, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. It was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. In order to have a solid foundation, we need to follow the advice of the parable of the builder. We need to hear, and we need to act. And any time you're building a foundation, it requires intentionality. It requires careful observation. There's a ton of guys in here that have built a lot of houses and have been involved in foundations. We'll name Paul Dwyer of late. But it requires intentionality to build that foundation, to lay that solid foundation. Number one, you want to make sure whatever you put that on, that it's on solid footing. If it's on clay or sand, there's going to be issues. I mean, nobody wants it on clay. We're going to have a really cracked foundation. So you don't want that. You know, you don't want it on sand because it's going to shift. It's not stable. They're in my line of work. People, developers, builders pay a lot of money to make sure they have solid foundations. They want to know what's underneath that earth. They want to know what they're building on. Second thing, it's intentionality. It's going to require making sure that your foundation is square. My father-in-law has, for years, built spec homes, houses, and he told me this story, and I really appreciate it because I never forgot it. He told me there was this guy that he had trained, he was working with, and he built his, you know, had his laid out his foundation. He couldn't figure out why it wasn't square. He goes, man, I measured my diagonals. He goes, I measured them, and they matched up. They lined up. And he says, I thought I had it checked right, because it was not square. The foundation was not square to this building. And my father-in-law looked at him and says, you know, you can have a parallelogram or a rhombus that has equal diagonals and still not be square. And you know what I'm saying. You cannot just look at the diagonals to make sure the foundation is square. You have to measure other parts. You have to back it with other things. What I'm getting at is there's like two witnesses. You have to use additional things to make sure you're square. And so here's my sayings and does them. He is like a wise man who built on a foundation. It's going to require us checking, rechecking to make sure that, you know, as Mr. Wilson puts it, do we got our terms defined? Do we define our terms? Are we clear on what the scripture says here? So careful builder. And obviously he talks about the guy that didn't act on those words. It did not build on a solid foundation. He built on sand. And winds came, floods came, all the problems of this life come. And great was its fall. Because the problems are going to come. Because the problem came from the guy that built on the rock, right? It's not like we're going to avoid the problems of this life. It's how are we going to respond? And if we don't have this in the tank, we're not going to be able to respond properly. So, all right, so that's the feedback, right? If we respond incorrectly. All right, so I'm going to... But implicit in that is our intentionality. And anyone, like I said, in the construction industry, it requires intentionality. And Jesus is liking that same parable for us. It requires intentionality on our part to hear properly. So there's another expression that came to my mind when I was putting this together. And I think all of you'll know what I mean. But it says, there's a specific phrase, he who has ears... let him hear, ... Because there's a multiplicity of places that shows up in Scripture. Actually, 15 times in the New Testament. Now, some of them are some overlap with Gospels, but 15 times that phrase is used by Christ. He who has ears, let him hear. like I said, like the Matthew Henry quote, none is so deaf as him who will not hear. So there's a idea in our minds, we got to make a choice. Are we willing to listen? And that's the free will part of this. And so I wanted to look at a couple of those specific locations where he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And one of the first ones is in Matthew 11, 15. And how it really relates to, what does it mean to hear the Word of God? Matthew 11, 15. And this is the one, let me just make sure I don't, okay. We'll start at 7 just to get ramped up to it. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law and the prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so in this passage, the context of this is regards to accepting John the Immerser as the Elijah to come, and that the fulfillment of those times has come. And it's time now to accept it. The will of the Lord. And so they're having to, that's why he's iterating that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are we going to accept the will of the Lord? In this case, in this particular case, are they willing to accept that John was the Elijah to come? And he was the fulfillment of the Malachi's prophecy. Because John doesn't say that of himself, but Jesus says it of him. And he, because the time is now. So are we willing to see, to hear it? That's what part of, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are we willing to accept the will of the Lord? So let's take a look at Matthew 13, one chapter over. And this is actually, the verses, parallels 4-9, which the same phrase comes up. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:9. And this is in regards to, the start of 3. Then he spoke things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell in the stony place, where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up, because they did not have the depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell in good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so Jesus is telling this parable, and he's telling his parable about soil and what the response of the variety of people that you're going to encounter and how they're going to interact with the seed, the Word of God that's going to come forth. You know, some it's going to be on stony ground. It's never going to take root. And then some birds are going to devour it and take it away. It's going to take root, but not deep root. The birds of the air are going to take it away. Some, the sun's going to, you know, the thorns and the thistles of this life are going to choke out the word. And then others, it's going to fall on good ground and yield a crop. Some 60, some 30, some 100-fold, right? But it starts with him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here, number one. That's wisdom. That's teaching for us to know what we're going to encounter out there. And number two, what kind of soil are we? We got to ask ourselves individually, I want to be good soil. I want to make myself receptive to the word, to hear it. Okay. All right. So next one I want to look at is Matthew 13:43. And this is really in regards to the wheat and tares. And Jesus, I'm going to start in 36. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came and saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed in the Son of Man, the field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of God, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares were gathered and burned in fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom all the things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them out, cast them into the furnace of fire. They will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so, again, the message goes out, and it explains on, you know, a lot of times this parable helps us, like, you know, if there's an issue in the body and there's a tear, like, they should rip it out. God should rip it out. But the patience of God is on display here. And he says, you wait. Wait till the end. And then the judgment will come. Because if you start prematurely and start pulling that tear out, you might pull some wheat out with it. And that's, I don't want to do anything detrimental to my church. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Actually, I'm jumping ahead to Revelation. But he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Be patient with people. That's the message we need to hear. Be patient with people. All right. Let's turn to Luke 8:16. How's my time?
About 10 minutes.
Okay. Luke 8:16. He says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on the lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nothing hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. It's not the exact phrase, but it says, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. Therefore take heed. Take heed to the message that's spoken to you. For whoever has, more will be given. If we approach this correctly and we have a willing ear to hear, more will be given to us. Because more is given to a good steward. More is given. Whereas if whoever does not have, even what he seems like he has, it will be taken from him. This thing is conditional, and it's going to require some of that intentionality, and it's going to require us hearing and heeding what we've heard. So, again, those are the other. So, I don't want to go into Revelation, but there are lots of. I don't want to go too far into it, I should say. Just turn over real quick to Revelation 2:7. That phrase is used quite often. In chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. Revelation 2. And I'll just read these real quick. He says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to be paying attention. And there, as a church body, I mean, you know, wherever you're at, wherever you guys assemble, there's a variety of groups here. But there's a message to each church here, and it specifically is pulled out, and we need to heed it. And we need to hear it. And that's that hear that message that's specifically spoken to those churches. Verse 11, it gets into, It says here, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. That's a message that we need to hear and remind ourselves on a regular basis. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death, the eternal one. Okay, verse 17. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give what? Hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and a stone and a new name was written, which no one knows except he who receives it. Individually, the Spirit is speaking to us, and he's promising these things. We have to have a willing ear to hear it. Verse 29 of that same chapter. And then it says, he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to churches. And I should have read 28. He will give him the morning star. He will give him a new day. He will give him a new life, an eternal life. All right, so let's, verse 6 there in chapter 3, quotes it again. Verse 5, I want to start there. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father in heaven, before his angels. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's something important that's being said to us. I want to be, I don't think anybody, I hope all of you are in the same spot. I want to be clothed in those white garments. I want to be, I don't want my name blotted out. I don't want to think about other people that we know with their name blotted out. That's our, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Shouldn't point, that's not polite, right? all right. Verse 13. He who has an ear, let him hear, or I should say, verse 12 to 13. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city my God, the new Jerusalem, who comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We want to be part of the new Jerusalem. In verse 22, he says, verse 21 to 22, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do we want that inheritance of royalty? Do we want to be called a prince? Pay attention to what the Spirit says to the churches. So, hearing God's word is going to require individual effort, and it's going to require intentionality and engagement on our part. Hear, O Israel, is a clarion call to all dispensations. Listen to God's word. Act upon what we've heard. Be careful, intentional, and engage in the building up of the kingdom of God. This requires the whole of our lives. It requires 100% commitment. Appreciate your attention tonight, guys. And I pray that you give undivided attention to the rest of the speakers, because they got a message that we need to hear, and we need to be ready to listen. I'll turn it over to you.